Manx Radio Sport.
Good evening, welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Rob Pritchard and our team with you here for the next hour, looking ahead to the latest Manx sporting action this weekend, coming up in tonight's programme. This year's Railway Cup semi-finals headline another important weekend of Manx football fixtures. Looking to remain top of Regional 2 North West, Douglas are on the road this Saturday in rugby, while the Manx Shield returns in the west of the island tomorrow. How do we take hockey to the next level on the Isle of Man? We hear from the Manx Hockey Association's development officer, and we also have a little bit of a catch-up on the latest from the busy Isle of Man athletic scene. That is all to come this evening. Welcome to the latest edition of Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. I'm Rob Pritchard and on our team with you here for the next hour to take a look at the sporting action on the Isle of Man and further afield over this coming weekend. A busy schedule awaits across football and rugby in particular. We're going to turn our attention to football first, as we usually do, because one competition in particular is under the spotlight this weekend amid the latest myriad of league fixtures, which we're hoping will take place with the poor weather that we've been having. It is the semi-finals of the Manx Carstore Railway Cup coming up on Saturday. Take a look through those and everything else in the meantime is our football correspondent Tony Mepperman. Tony, looking at that weather out there, it's a bit wet out there, it's a bit brisk, so there may be a job on the hands of a lot of the clubs to get games underway tomorrow.
A big job, because I've just travelled in from Kirkmichael and it's not nice at all. Just be careful on the roads, because there's tree branches, quite big tree branches down the middle of the roads, and with the dark areas around there, it can catch you out. But certainly football's going to take a battering, I think, tomorrow, Rob, because it's really rough. No forecast coming in as well. We'll wait and see. But, you know, the ones we're looking at is the Manx Carstore Railway Cup semi-finals. Peel, I think, should be OK, because the pitch is absolutely fantastic. But Onchan and Corinthians, a lot of work being done on this one, because I saw the forecast on Sunday and I just thought to myself, we better have a plan here. But Onchan Stadium Thursday night, it was no chance. So we switched it to Bala Fletcher, and Bala Fletcher was inspected today. And it's a little bit wet, so we're going to have a look at it again at 8 o'clock in the morning and just see if anything can be done, or if it's not being too bad, the forecast that's coming in. But it's worrying times, because we've only got one more week, which is next week, to get the fixtures out of the way. And if we don't, then we've got a huge problem. But fingers crossed.
Yeah, we'll look at the fixtures in a moment. So just a reminder for anyone who's just been tuning in the last couple of minutes with regards to that wet and windy weather we have at the moment. Ronaldsway Met Office has earlier issued a amber weather warning for coastal overtopping. That comes into force at 9:30pm this evening and runs until 1:30am tomorrow morning, Saturday the 6th of December. So this is what Ronaldsway Met Office has to say. The areas most likely to be affected by this amber weather warning for coastal overtopping: Shaw Road in Rushen, the promenades at Castletown, Laxey and Ramsey, and also central and northern parts of Douglas Promenade. This is what forecasters say. Gusty gale force southeast winds will increase wave heights this afternoon and this evening, leading to the moderate overtopping of waves and a risk of significant debris in exposed areas around the time of high tide later this evening, which is due to be at 11:35pm. So if you are out and about this evening and overnight, please just do bear that in mind. That amber weather warning for coastal overtopping, particularly in the coastal areas we've just mentioned there, that notice from Ronaldsway Met Office. Back to the sporting side of things, and as Tony's already alluded to, there's probably going to be a lot of head scratching and a lot of decisions having to be made over the next 12 to 18 hours with regards to the football schedule. Let's turn our attention first off to the Manx Carstore Railway Cup semi-finals due to take place tomorrow. This year sees Peel, Laxey, Onchan and Corinthians all qualifying for this year's tournament, all wanted to be in for a shot of that glorious trophy, with the final currently scheduled to take place on Boxing Day, as is tradition. Taking a first look then at the first of those semi-finals out in the west of the island, Peel, the defending Premier League champions, coming up against the Laxey side, Tony, who've been playing a bit of catch-up in terms of games more recently to the teams around them, but who you've been impressed by so far this season.
Well, I think when you look at Peel and Laxey, they've both been chasing the fixtures, because they've only played 11 each, as where you look at Corinthians have played 13, and just below them, Onchan have played 12. But I've only watched Laxey once this year, and it was a game down at Glen Road. And they sort of, you know, did really well in the first half. That was against Onken. But then the second half, it just didn't quite sort of gel together. So Johnny Palmer wouldn't want that to happen again because, you know, right the way through, they've showed a lot of character, Laxey. And I think maybe a bit of the problem was that players were missing. And I know that, you know, there's a couple back this week and Ed Canner's been a great player for them so far this season. We'll be back in that squad. And I think the rest of the players are pretty well fit as well. But I think with Peel, it's going to be an awkward one because Peel's pitch will be very playable, I'm pretty certain. But it just makes you worry about how much rain is coming down in a short space of time, you know what I mean? It doesn't drain away maybe as quick as, you know, it could do. But certainly, the team-wise, they've got some really quality players in there. And Thomas Brown back fit now again through the middle. And when you look at sort of down the wings, you've got Taylor Andrews on that sort of left-hand side, right-hand side, wherever he may play. But right in midfield, they work hard to, you know, provide the openings for the Peel players. But certainly defensively, I think Peter Kenyuk's pulled off a bit of a masterstroke because it was an area that was at fault big time last season. They just didn't have the consistency of centre-backs. And with Sam Kenyuk coming back from injury, you've got Finn Donoghue in there as well. And then when you look at Scott Horn, who'd probably play on the left-hand side, and then on the right-hand side, is he done? And then you stick Owen Dawson in, who's a good goalkeeper. He's not the tallest, but very good. I think that's been a bit of Achilles heel for Peel. And they'll be just hoping to exploit Laxey's weaknesses if they can find any. But with people like Ben Wazza up front and Ed Canner, they've got good strength there. Adam Meelan in that midfield. And then defensively, I would think Tom Kenny will be in there. And Amy Avery as well. So really good. Aidan Pickering's good goalkeeper as well. It's going to be a close game. But I just think Peel, with the experienced players that they've got in there, people like Matthew Woods and others, can just get Peel over the line.
The other semi-final, well, it was due to take place originally at the Niverson Stadium, Onken hosting Corinthians. So with regards to the Canada Life Men's Premier League table, Onken fourth at the moment, 22 points after 12 games. Corinthians top with 33 points after 13 games and the only undefeated side in the Canada Life Men's Premier League as it stands at the moment, 10 wins and 3 draws. Well, as Tony's mentioned before, and again, if you've only just joined us as well, there is a potential switch planned for this game. It could end up taking place at Ballofletcher, incidentally the home of Corinthians, tomorrow, given the weather conditions we're expected to experience overnight and into tomorrow morning. Are keeping an eye on that and all the games. We will, of course, if there are any changes tomorrow as well, just on a wider note with regards to fixtures, we will let you know as soon as possible. But yes, Tony, on the assumption this semi-final is going to take place tomorrow, Onken up against the Corinthians side, who yet to taste defeat this season and looking strong.
Yeah, let's just have a look at Onken's stats because I've been sent these today. I'm not going to take the plaudits for this. I know you're a bit of a stato, Rob, and this is pretty impressive, this. Because just to clarify, in 1937, date refers to the last time Onken were in the Railway Cup semi-finals. They lost 5-0 to Braddon on the 11th of December, 1937. I remember it well. And in a replay after a 1-1 draw at Onken 7 days previously. However, before 1963-64, which I was getting a little bit older then, the competition was operated on a knockout basis. So Onken's last appearance in the competition was the 17th of April 1963 when they lost 6-4 at home against Poros United in a prelim round match. So there's some stats for you, and thanks to Colin Moore for all that information. But let's have a look at the game, because Onken start the season, Rob. Would you say Onken are going to be in the semi-finals of the Railway Cup? I don't think either of us would have, but I think, you know, after a couple of games watching them play, I thought to myself, this team has got something about them. And whatever they've done, James O'Kelly and other people, Andy Asbridge will have played a big part. They've done a great job in converting very young players into very talented players. And I've been impressed, and they've showed great character in that draw against Laxey when they were losing 4-0. And then came back to 4-4. I've watched them against Corinthians. They should have been 3-0 up at half-time in the league game at Ballofletcher. But for reasons, they just squandered chances. But tomorrow's certainly going to be different. This game has definitely been switched to Ballofletcher. Ballofletcher, hopefully, is going to be fit. We don't know what we're going to do. I don't think there's anywhere else we can play it, to be honest, if we don't get it played. But Corinthians, looking at the squad, I think Luke Murray's going to I think Luke Murray's going to struggle because he's, got this hamstring injury. And then I've heard a whisper that Sean Doyle might be fit. He's been training for the last couple of weeks. But if they got him back in the squad, absolutely great. But Josh Riding's back on the island, so he would play. And when you look at Connor Clark up front defensively, Darren Kane, Stewie Smith, Bevan Colley, and whoever plays in that right full-back spot have looked really impressive. Midfield work hard. But Onken, when you look at the players that they've got in there, James Cruz, Josh Kenyuk, who may be available, but up front, the forward line is the big, big problem that Corinthians are going to have to deal with because they struggled a little bit last time, but they did play with three at the back. They've gone back to four now, so that might help them. But certainly Tom Crea, if he plays, Andy Asprey as well, he's missed a couple of games recently, then it's going to be a right humdinger of a game. And I wouldn't be surprised if this one went to extra time.
Very well. So Peel versus Laxey, Onken versus Corinthians in the Manx Carstall Railway Cup semi-finals tomorrow. Both of those games kicking off at the slightly earlier time of 1 p.m. That is to account for extra time and penalties if required. And Tony, just quickly before we move on to the league games taking place tomorrow, if we do find ourselves in a situation where tomorrow where one or both semi-finals don't take place, what options are there for getting the game staged?
The options are that we go the following week, which I'm happy enough with, the 13th. That's okay because we've got a league programme down. Apologies to the clubs that are not getting a game of football because we're having to do this, but it's so, so important to get that final on Boxing Day. It's a massive date in the football calendar. But after that, the 13th, if we've undecided, I just don't know whether we could play a midweek game at the Bowl. That's an option, but we'd have to agree with the clubs. But I'm pretty confident with Peel tomorrow, Rob, but I'm a little bit worried at Bala Fletcher. But the pitch at lunchtime, it was a little bit wet, and with what's coming down now, it's tough.
We'll just have to wait and see. We're in the hands of the weather gods
in
that respect.
Posted.
Indeed. Turning to the league games then, due to take place. The Canada Life Men's Premier League, we did have three games scheduled for tomorrow. So all league games tomorrow kicking off at 2 p.m, which is the regulation time for this time of year. We did have three games. However, we did see an announcement earlier put out that Douglas High School All Boys versus Ayr United had been postponed. And also, I'm reliably informed that the game over at Billigo Park between Foxdale, winless Foxdale in the league, and St John's United has also been postponed. These both due to the conditions. So, well, as it stands, Tony, unless anything remarkable, I guess, happens overnight, we have just the one game in the Canada Life Men's Premier League this weekend, and it's two teams who were right next to each other in the table, Union Mills in 10th, Braddon in 11th, both of them just looking to try and steer themselves away from that bottom two at the moment when they face off at Victoria Road.
Yeah, it is, and I think certainly when you look at the games we've lost now, Foxdale, St John's, that was changed a couple of days ago because St John's couldn't fulfil the fixture because it was their free week. So we've allowed that one to carry on because, it's their proper free week. So we had to switch that and it was going to be Ramsey. But All Boys against Ayr, I haven't had notification on that one, Rob. Now, I was told that was off on Thursday. But nobody's come through. There's nothing from the FA. So just be cautious on that one where, the information has come from because normally it would fire through to me. But Braddon against Union Mills, this is two teams that need to try and get...
Just on that previous point there, Tony, to interrupt there, that actually came from Ayr United social media message to announce that both of its weekend games have been postponed due to unfit pitches. So if there is anything further to clarify, then we will absolutely do that. But that was the announcement from Ayr United, and that was in around the last hour or so.
Yeah, no problem. But, Braddon against Union Mills, when you look at that league table, Braddon 11th place on 7 points and Union Mills just above them on 9. So I think Ryan Kelly, the manager of Union Mills, is having a tough time at the moment because, the results have not gone their way. Yes, they did okay in the last game, but, before that took a bit of a beating. But, Brad and Will Smith's squad there, they work hard, very young set of players, so they get better each week and they've got one or two players in there who can sort of turn the screw, if you like, and really mix it and get the delivery into the forward players. I'm going to go for Braddon to win.
And yeah, just to take a look at Braddon here, Tony. I mean, at the moment, Braddon, 33 goals in the league so far this season. So that actually puts them in and around the region that you would expect from those in the teams at the top half at the very least. But currently got the leakiest defence at the moment, 60 goals conceded. Foxdale at the bottom have conceded 54, although they have played four games less than Braddon to this point. So difficult to make too many comparisons in that respect. Turning to Ardern and Drung Unlimited Division 2. Well, the battle rages on at the top of the table between two southern rivals, Castletown in first and Colchester Colby in second. Still just 2 points separate them, with both currently right in the fight, not just for the title, but also firmly in control of the promotion spots as well at the moment. Looking at the fixtures, both Castan and Colby will be on the road. We'll come to them in a moment. Elsewhere, Ramsey Centre and Old Boys, who've just dropped down to fifth after the last couple of games, now behind Maroun in fourth on goal difference. They're going to be hosting Maloo, and Maloo have only played seven to this point.
Yeah, when you look at two of the sides, you know, when you look at Maloo have played seven, as you say, and then Maroun have only played nine, and the rest of them are like sort of 12, 11. And just to give you a rough idea, Rob, this time last year, we were on two fixtures to rearrange. Now we're on 50 near enough. So it just shows you what sort of winter that we've had so far, and we're not in the thick of it yet. But certainly against Ramsey Youth Centre, they're going to find it tough, Maloo. We'll wait and see what their squad is going to be like, because they've got a lot of talented players registered for them. It's just getting them out with work commitments and being away and stuff like that. But I think Ramsey Youth Centre just got to keep working hard like they are, because, you know, when you look at the teams just above them, Castan, Colby, Paul Rose, Maroun, they've all sort of put in good performances against them when they've played them. So I'm going to go for Ramsey Youth Centre to win.
Speaking of Maroun, up into fourth, 19 points. So 10 points off second place, but have only played nine. So three games in hand on Colby in second. Slowly creeping up at the moment, aren't they, Tony, as they start to get those games under their belt? They're up against, or they're at home against St George's this weekend.
Yeah, you got to go for Maroun to win, because, you know, St George's, when you look at the league table, OK, they've started to gather some points now as well. But Maroun had that sticky start, didn't he, at the start of the season? But since then, they started to pull it together. They started to score goals. And with a goal difference of 13, a little bit different to Castletown's 48. But I think Maroun will prove too strong.
And then the two top of the table sides, Castletown in first, Colby in second. So yes, as mentioned just before, just 2 points separating them at the moment, both on the road. Castletown away at Douglas Royal and Colby away at Douglas and District.
Yeah, well, you look at Douglas Royal and you say that result that they've had recently against Paul Rose 2-2, you'd say, yeah, fine, they're improving. When you look at the team sheet with the players that they've got available, you know, they're strong, so they could play, maybe cause a few problems with Castletown. But I think Castletown know that yeah, they've got to keep winning. I know the top of the league, but when you look at the teams just below them, Rob, when you look at Colby 2 points just behind, same games, you look at Paul Rose, who are sort of 11 points, a little bit more, but it's they've got to keep winning, and I think that result that they had against Paul Rose sort of shocked them a little bit, but I don't think they'll have a problem against Douglas Royal, and I'll go for Castletown to win.
And yes, I know, Colby and Douglas and District are one of two teams still searching for that elusive first win of the season in Division 2. The other being Governors Athletic, second from bottom, just the 1 point after 10 games. They're going to be at home to the aforementioned Paul Rose United in third.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you look at Governors in the last game where they just lost out to Colby 4-3, was, you know, a good performance by them. And, you know, they got people there who can score goals. It's usually a team effort with the goals. They've not got a standout player who can score two or three in a game. But certainly against Paul Rose, it will be tough. Owen Canepa is in there. He's in good form, scoring plenty of goals. There'll be one or two players, I would think, returning back into that squad to make them a lot stronger. And Paul Rose, another team, they've just got to keep maximum win. There's a lot of pressure when you look at that Division 2 race at the moment, because we're coming up to the halfway stage and the big teams will start playing against each other, and they need to maximise and get the points.
Indeed, that's Division 2 then. Quick look at the combination leagues. This is as we understand it at the moment. Corinthians versus Foxtel in Combination 1,
that's definitely
won't be taking place. We also understand, given the announcement from Ayr United in the last hour or so, that their home game in Combination 1 against Douglas High School Old Boys is also postponed. If we need any more further confirmation, I'm sure we will get that. But as it stands, Tony, still 1, 2, 3, 4 games taking place in Combination 1 tomorrow.
Yeah, Uni Mills against Braddon. I'm going to go for Braddon to win that one, because I just think there's one or two players back in that team to make them stronger. St Mary's against Onchan. Just to clarify, if you remember last week, Rob, we had a game that was abandoned due to the weather, and it was Laxey 1, St Mary's 4, I think it was at that stage. That will be rearranged. That score won't stand. But I'm going to go for St Mary's to beat Onchan. That game will definitely be on at the Bowl. Maybe I could bribe them and play the other one, the Railway Cup, if we don't get it. Ramsey against Laxey. Well, you know, Ramsey have been so patient to play, but they're still top of the table with their 26 points from 10. So I'm going to go for Ramsey to beat Laxey. Ayr United All Boys, as you've said, being postponed. And Rushing United against Peel. that to me is the pick of the fixtures in the Combination One there this week, and I'm going to go for Russian just to sneak it.
The Old Firm Derby, as many call it. Ardern and Drugger Limited, Combination 2. Paul Rose United, still one of the standout performances there. Combination team, the only team across the senior men's divisions with a 100% win record. 13 wins from 13 games, outstanding so far this season. They are involved in one of the six games taking place in Combination 2.
They certainly are. And let's have a look from the top of the sheet. Jim's against Governors Athletic. Jim's have done well. They're battling well. Sixth place in the league with 17 points against Governors Athletic, who are just down in 10th. So we'll go for Jim's to win. Malou against Ramsey Centre and Old Boys. I'll go with Ramsey Centre and Old Boys. St George's against Moran. Moran to win. Paul Rose against Michael, as you rightly say. When you look at them stats, pretty incredible, really. Played 13, won 13 with 39 points. So Paul Rose to win. Castletown against Douglas Royal. I'll go with Castletown. And Colby against Douglas and District. Colby to win.
And just very quickly looking at Sunday, Tony, another doubleheader in the Canadife Women's Floodlit Cup due to take place at the Bowl in Douglas. 10 past 2 kick-off, the defending champions Peel up against seven-time winners Douglas Royal, and then after that, Russian United versus Union Mills, both sides still looking to get their first win in the tournament this year.
Yeah, let's look at Peel against Douglas Royal. Peel, hopefully we're going to have a rearranged fixture last week, but it didn't happen. Malou couldn't field a team, so Peel get the points, but that's in the league. But in the Floodlit Cup, you know, you're looking at the other teams. I think they can all mix it, but you know, Peel against Douglas Royal, I've got to go for Peel to win. Russian against Union Mills, I think it's great this fixture because both teams in the league, they're doing really well, and they've got a chance of maybe winning, but I think Russian will just be too strong.
And just very quickly, Tony, could you just mention, for those who don't know, the two games in Masters football plan for Sunday?
Yeah, Masters is really competitive. Let's look at that Old Boys St Mary's game. Two of the top sides. I'm going to go for Old Boys just to win it. Peel against Douglas and District. Douglas and District have signed two or three new players this week, but I still think they'll find it tough against Peel.
Tony, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Moving on, and following the conclusion of the 2025 Mixed Hockey League season last weekend, there's a small gap this weekend ahead of the end of the Mixed campaign as a whole, with the Cup Finals in the next 2 weeks. As always happens at the end of a season or calendar year, the Manx Hockey Association is looking at ways to evolve and grow the sport on the island. And with that in mind, we've been speaking this week with Manx Hockey Association's Hockey Development Officer, Rachel Andrew, about some of the plans the organisation has for the future. And looking back on 2025, she's also explained how successful the MHA thinks the last 12 months have been for hockey here.
Well, I've been looking at the participation figures, and for the last couple of years it's been around, just hovering above 1,000 registered participants. So those are people who play hockey in whatever form. It's a roughly a 50-50 split between the under 18s and the over 18s, which is great to see because it shows that we have got youngsters coming through and enjoying the sport as well. The bit of information we're getting from clubs now is actually understanding the age bandings and the male and the female, so we can try to put things in place to target areas where we're maybe a little bit low. So for example, it could be that when boys are getting to 16-ish, they're having to make a choice between football and hockey if they want to play competitively on a Saturday, because obviously have the clash of the fixtures on the Saturday afternoon. So we'll be looking at ways in which we can actually keep them in hockey. We've got to make hockey the sport of choice.
Like you say there, though, around 1,000 registered participants in some capacity.
Yeah.
You know, considering this is an island with a population of just under 85,000 as well, is that quite encouraging from the MHA's perspective to have that level of numbers?
Yes, it is. But also, we would always like to have a few more. The hard thing we've got, as with every sport, are facilities, because we're sharing facilities. And so you reach a point where you're having to think about ways you can actually do it differently. So, for example, in January, we are doing an under 15s indoor tournament. It's the first time we've ever done it, to give them the chance to play hockey, but in a different format. So sometimes that's what we need to do, is look at the participation. It can be participating in different ways, not necessarily just through the league.
And outside of the playing side as well, of course, there are crucial roles that have to be filled each week to make sure matches can go ahead, umpires being one of them, league administrators and the likes of yourself and others taking up positions within the Manx Hockey Association. So how important is it that you can also advertise not just what's available if you want to play the sport, but also that there are key roles to get involved in within the MHA to make sure that everything else goes ahead and everything is completed behind the scenes?
Yes, it is. It's really important. And one of the things that we've done just over the last two or three days is England Hockey have launched a new junior hockey coaching framework. framework, and there are so many amazing things in there that people can use to help develop their junior players. And to support that, England Hockey changed their membership system recently, so it's this year, so now included within the membership fee we pay is access to a lot of free courses. So there are free courses for umpires and coaches, so it's making sure we've got that, and then once that's happened we can support the people to make sure that they get experience and they're actually signed off as being competent in those roles. But clubs are always looking for help and support. We've got fantastic volunteers and everyone really does appreciate them, but sometimes it's the same people wearing multiple hats. We need to get more people involved, and we're hoping that through the courses actually being free, some of them are online as well, so you can do them at home. It might encourage more people to get involved.
Off the back of what you've just been saying there, so if anyone's listening to this and is maybe considering taking up a position within the MHA or within a club as well that is a non-playing role, or just wants to find out more details about what any roles could entail, how can they get in touch with yourselves?
There are details actually on the Manx Hockey Association website, but they could always email me, which is manxhdo@gmail.com, and I'd be quite happy to point them in the right direction. I mean, parents, if they want to sign up for some of the courses, they can do that as well.
Looking forward, even if it's not for the MHA generally, but maybe just you and your role specifically, over the coming months, as we head into 2026, when there'll be a start of a new Men's and Women's Senior League season as well. The Mixed Under 15s League will continue. The Ireland teams will be hopefully out and about progressing in tournaments. What would you like to see in terms of progress for Manx hockey in general over the next, let's say, 6 to 12 months?
It would be great to see participation numbers going up. I would also love to see more people taking up umpiring and coaching, and hopefully through the courses. And I would like to see walking hockey being successful and being able to rerun some of the tournaments we've got planned.
That was Rachel Andrew, Manx Hockey Association's Hockey Development Officer, and you'll be able to listen to the full extended version of that interview with Rachel Andrew next week on the Manx Radio Sportscast.
Manx Radio Sport.
Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio, where the time is coming up to 6 minutes past six. We're turning our attention to rugby now and to the latest upcoming Isle of Man rugby action, and with plenty of eyes still on the current excellent form of Douglas in Regional 2 Northwest, they'll be hoping to avoid complacency on their travels tomorrow in order to maintain their control at the top of the table. Meanwhile, two tough tasks are expected for Vagabonds and Ramsey in Counties 3 ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire, whilst the Manx Shield is back on the Ireland as well. And to get the details, I've been speaking today with our rugby correspondent Dave Christian. Dave, thanks for joining us as usual, taking a look to what's another busy rugby schedule ahead for the Isle of Man, both here on Ireland and further afield. Going to start with the ever-impressive Douglas, top of Regional 2 Northwest at the moment, and on their travels again this weekend, coming up against West Park, who are based in St Helens, and West Park, I should say, residing a little bit further down the table. But from Douglas's perspective, how do you rate their chances against a side that, I'm sure could give Douglas a nasty surprise if they're not careful?
Yeah, indeed. West Park with St Helens in brackets. West Park down in eighth place. The teams that they've beaten this season, they've only got three wins, are all the teams below them. So on paper, at least, this looks like, I'm not going to say easy game, because that's disrespectful to the players who are out there flogging themselves into the ground every weekend, but this looks an easier game on paper. Now, Douglas would be foolish to assume that their lofty league position means they're going to be gifted wins every week. They're not. They're up there to be knocked down, and West Park will know that, and they'll fancy their chances. And it'll be down to Douglas to stick to the game plan and the play plan that's been working so well for them this season. I haven't got any team news from Douglas just yet. Hopefully, maybe a little bit later on. But we think that Douglas aren't looking like there were any injuries or serious injuries sustained last week. Liam Kirkpatrick's back into the side. He scored twice in the game last week against Widnes. And also Blake Snell, the captain, he sat out last week with a knock to the ribs he picked up from the previous match. Simon Huddernot's back in the front row. And Matty Wood at standoff. Nathan Robson at scrum half. Young Nathan, player of the match last week down at Portishead. He's moved up. This is his second season now after moving up from Ramsey. He's one of the first names on the team sheet, and he's kicking their goals as well. I mean, they've pretty much got everything in that side. It's still too early, I think, for me to be mentioning the P word, promotion, but they're up there at the top. They've got a game in hand. That could see them as many as 8 points clear at the top. So fingers crossed for Douglas. I'm pretty certain they can go and get maximum points at West Park, although pretty much depends on the weather. We've got heavy overnight rain coming. The pitch might be a bit of a swamp. It might suit more of a forward arm wrestle than Douglas's strengths, which appear to be out wide. But we'll wait and see how that one. Kickoff over there at West Park is at 1:30 p.m.
Well, actually, Dave, just right now in front of me, I've got the Douglas team news, in fact. And so we're just taking a look at who's in and who's out. One of those who is out is Harry Hewson. He's going to join Blake Snell and Ian Larson on the current injury list. Josh Duncan is also unavailable this weekend. That's going to mean that Harry Cartwright is expected to get another opportunity at inside centre, and Jack Wallace shifting to outside centre, and Ollie Corkish returns to the starting 15, having also shaken off a knock. There's also a first start for Kudzai Chenda, and also a potential debut from the bench should Harry Wallace enter the field of play. So this is your Douglas starting 15, numbers 1 to 15 in order. They are Simon Hoddenott, Josh Campbell, Owen Carvin, Ethan Kermode, Kudzai Chenda, John Dutnell, Blake Everson, Captain Liam Kirkpatrick, Nathan Robson, Matty Wood, Craig Martin, Harry Cartwright, Jack Wallace, Ollie Corkish and Kyle Martin. And the three substitutes for Phil Kringle's side are Connor Garland, Zach Wickman and Harry Wallace. Dave, with that in mind, like I said, a couple more injuries to the list there really for Douglas as well. One of the things that you said has been a big strength this season is consistency of selection. A couple of knocks here and there, but in essence, do you believe, looking at that squad, that is largely the core that they'd have wanted to be taking this weekend anyway?
Yeah, pretty much. Blake Snell, obviously the captain, extremely experienced player, knows his way around. But Kudzai Chenda, seen him play for the Celts not that long ago. Big, rangy second row, loves to run with the ball in his hand. He's going to cause damage, and he's quick as well. I mean, you could almost have him playing in your centres. Zach Wickman is a new arrival from New Zealand. Zach played in the same game I watched, just played a little cameo at the end. Looks to be a useful player, although I haven't quite seen enough of him to form an opinion. But they've got plenty of power on the pitch and they've got plenty of reserves on the bench. I think, yeah, this has got 5 points written all over it.
Turning then to Kansas 3 AM, Lancashire, Cheshire, Vagabonds and Ramsey after that rather rare goalless draw in horrible conditions at Morrow Park last weekend. Vagabonds, they have a very tough task in front of them, at least. We're a couple of weeks away, of course, from Kansas 3 AM, Lancashire and Cheshire. The league does actually split, for those who don't know. It will then see the top seven play each other and the bottom seven, both Vagabonds and Ramsey propping up the table inside the bottom seven at the moment. And Vagabonds with a very tough game by the sounds of it as well, the league leaders. This looks a big challenge, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it'll be a testing ground for Vagabonds for sure. Very thrashed Ramsey over there, 116-0. Now, to be fair, that was a weekend when Ramsey had a club wedding on, but I couldn't see that much improvement on the scoreline, if I'm honest. They look to be a quality side. They're coming here as league leaders. They're going to want to keep their foot on the gas. I'm pretty certain that Vagabonds have very little chance to get into the top seven. So they're pretty much resigned to where they are, as are Ramsey. I think we should see it in a way win, but it'll be a nice little measure for Vagabonds to just see how well they're going to do against the bigger boys. We've got the Manx Cup coming up at the end of the season. They're going to have to face Douglas and Ramsey and Southern Nomads again. And getting a measure against a quality outfit like Berry will be a great fillip for them. They were excellent last week in defence. In fact, both teams were, as was evidenced by the scoreline, 0-0. But the Vagabonds' defence was very strong, particularly in the first half when Ramsey were at their freshest. And Ramsey had the wind behind them, so Vagabonds playing into the wind and holding Ramsey out to 0 at half-time was an immense piece of work. I watched the defence at work against Duckingfield, and 1 to 15 were all making their tackles. And there were some massive tackles from small men as well. Cam Finley was throwing himself around like there was no tomorrow. So they've got plenty of commitment in that side. The results just aren't quite falling their way. But sooner or later, that'll turn. And Vagabonds in the post-split setup will have a much more level playing field in terms of games, and we may see their results start to pick up then. But I can't see beyond a Berry win, to be honest.
So yeah, Vagabonds at home this weekend at Ballafletcher up against the Counties 3 AM Lancashire and Cheshire league leaders. So for Ramsey, meanwhile, they're on the road at Duckingfield, and Ramsey's still searching for that first elusive win of the season on their return to the English leagues, up against a Duckingfield side that were defeated by Vagabonds not too long ago. So how much of an opportunity have maybe Ramsey got here, Dave?
Good question, Matt, Rob. I'm not so sure it is an opportunity. When you start to analyse Duckingfield's playing record, you see that They're not especially good on the road, and they have their better results when they're at home. That said, I've been in touch with their coach, Gaz Callan, this week. Mostly on travel arrangements, but a little bit of social stuff as well. He's a very chatty fellow. Gaz assures me that it will be it's quite a different team at Bloch's Ages playing fields in East Manchester on Saturday. There were a couple of players who've been in regularly in the first team this season. Scrum half Johnny Sculthorpe was one of them, who couldn't make it to the Isle of Man. So I think with a few key players changed, I think Duckenfield will be a different side. The number eight or flanker, depending on where he plays, Mike Cannoli was excellent against Vagabonds, and from my memory, and I didn't check back through my old notes, but he was excellent against Vagabonds last season too. I watched that game. So Duckenfield got some quality operators in there. I think they'll be too strong for Ramsey, who have had to make five changes from the team that started against Vagabonds last week. We've got Rory Nicholson's not able to travel from the front row. There's some switch around in the back row as well. I think hooker Ben Hardman is going to come and play flanker. Joe Flanagan's going to come in on the other flank. Still struggling in centres, so former captain and number eight Matthew Meakin's going to be playing in the centres. And we've got a change on the wing as well. Will Millsop picked up a head injury last week. He's got to sit out for a couple of weeks. So he's going to be replaced on the wing by Adam Dempsey, who was on the bench. We've got an all-new bench as well for Ramsey. Ewan Harmer's coming in this week. And Harry Parsons is coming in on his way back from his travels down in the south of the UK. So I think there are too many changes to that Ramsey squad to be successful away at Duckenfield. Potentially, if it was a home match, well, maybe I might have a different opinion. But away at Duckenfield, I suspect Duckenfield will take maximum points.
And finally, when it comes to the competitive action this weekend on Ireland, we've got the return of the latest round of the Hartford Homes Men's Shield. And specifically, it'll see Western Vikings taking on a Douglas Celts team.
Yes, down at QE2. Now, I put a question mark, or I want to sound a question mark in this. Obviously, QE2 suffers a little bit when we get wet. And so we could potentially have a venue change or a postponement for this match tomorrow. As soon as we find out, obviously, we'll let Manx Radio know and all the listeners as well. But aside from that, if it does go ahead, you have to fancy Douglas Celts. They've got the stronger squad. They've got the stronger club. But I think Western Vikings will pull the stops out. They'll want to play a game. They haven't had many matches this season. They want to make an impression in the Hartford Homes Manx Shield. And they want to give their juniors, because there's a very healthy junior squad out there at QE2, they want to give their juniors something to come and play for when they reach the senior ages. But Douglas Celts, with a mixture of experience and youth, and some quality players who are actually trying to break into the first team potentially available too. I think Douglas Celts will be far too strong.
Manx Radio Sport.
Dave Christian, our rugby correspondent there, looking ahead to this weekend's action. And with regards to Ramsey and their game away at Duckenfield tomorrow in Counties 3, ADM Lancashire and Cheshire, we do have team news in from the Northerners as well. So this is your Ramsey team to face Duckenfield tomorrow. 12:30 p.m. kickoff, that one. It's going to be an early start for Ramsey on their way across the sea. So the starting 15 then for Ramsey. So numbers 1 to 15 in order as follows. In the forwards, we have Adam Dunlop, Matt Livesey, Michael Flynn, Aaron Kerfey, Josh Kelly, Joe Flanagan, Ben Hardman, the captain, Josh Cateen. And then in the backs, it's Dan Kelly, Tom Moffat, Adam Dempsey, Kieran Neal, Matthew Meakin, Braden Roche and Brandon Atchison. And the three substitutes available for Dan Richmond's team are Harry Parsons, Ewan Harmer and Simon Corlett. A reminder as well, of course, Vagabonds and Ramsey currently propping up the table in Counties 3, ADM and Lancashire and Cheshire at the moment. Vagabonds second from bottom, Ramsey bottom at the moment, and Vagabonds with that very tough task ahead of them up against the league leaders Bury tomorrow. Bury, incidentally, as well, not just only the league leaders with 6 wins from 7, but also the highest scorers in the division so far by a considerable distance, with 354 points on the board. A lot of them will have come in that 116-0 hammering of Ramsey earlier in the season. And Ramsey, incidentally, at the bottom there with the leakiest defence as it stands at the moment. For Douglas, of course, just a bit of a reminder of how things look in the table for them from what Dave has been saying as well. They have 8 wins from their opening 9 games so far, sitting pretty at the top, a point ahead of Sandbach, who had that defeat to Winnington Park last time out. Douglas, incidentally, with a game in hand over Sandbach, North Ribblesdale and Vale of Loon below them as well. So looking pretty at the moment for Phil Kringle's side, but as we've been hearing from Dave throughout the last couple of weeks, the thought of that word promotion not being entertained by Douglas at this point. So that's the rugby side of things. Coming up in just a couple of moments, we're going to be taking a look at what's been going on in athletics in recent weeks. We've seen some more stellar performances from Manx competitors both on and off Ireland. We'll be hearing from local athletics correspondent Dave Griffiths, and that is coming up next.
Manx Radio Sport.
You're listening to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. The time has just gone 21 minutes past six. Finally, tonight, we're catching up with what's been another busy few weeks in the Isle of Man's athletic scene. Among the latest ventures, we've had multiple athletes excelling in off-island events and preparations getting underway for two major events locally coming up in 2026. Well, to find out more, I've been speaking this week with local athletics correspondent Dave Griffiths.
Well, I think recently we've had a number of our top athletes competing in events both home and away. And once again, we've had some really, really excellent results. Just last weekend, it'd be nice to mention some of our younger athletes who went over to Manchester to compete in the Manchester Open meeting. One or two Isle of Man records set, I believe. I still haven't actually seen the official results from the meeting, but I know certainly one athlete who set a record very impressively was Lara Smith, and she set not only an Isle of Man age group record in the pole vaults, but also, I believe, a North of England record as well. And then also last weekend, we had one of our star senior athletes, Ollie Lockley, who finished in a brilliant third place in the Leeds Abbey Dash, which is one of the highest profile road races in the North of England. It attracts competitors from all over the country. And Ollie ran a time 29 minutes and 1 second, which is a personal best for the distance, not only on the road, but it's faster than he's run on the track as well. Slightly frustratingly, he missed the Commonwealth Games consideration standard by 1 second, but hopefully he'll still get an opportunity to achieve that sometime in the new year. We had four Manx athletes competing at the Liverpool Cross Challenge, which is a really big event. It's part of the British Cross Challenge series, but significantly for the senior and under 20 athletes, it's the selection trial for the European Cross Country Championships. And one athlete who's been trying for years to get into the Great Britain team and has just missed out again is Sarah Aston. There's a team of six going to the event, and Sarah was eighth in the trial race. Young Leighton Curfey, who's a first year under 13, and he finished in a fantastic 16th place in a field of probably something near 200 in the under 13 boys race. In the under 13 girls, we had Bella Quay, who finished in 57th, and then Sam Perry, who's now at Loughborough University, he finished in a solid 49th place in the under 20 men's race.
And for those, when you mention a couple of names in there particularly who are looking maybe to get to those Commonwealth Games standards, of course, the deadline is approaching really to meet those qualifying standards as well, really not too long now as well. So what opportunities are there for those athletes who believe they're in a position to maybe get to those standards?
Well, there's not that many opportunities left, because I believe that the consideration standards have to be achieved by fairly early in the year. So there's not that many opportunities. And also, it's a real shame that there are no road races in the Commonwealth Games, because Krista Kane, for one, would have been an absolute shoo-in to get into the team in the marathon. But unfortunately, that event, for the first time ever, I think, isn't happening. And also, although we have race walks in the stadium, over 10,000 metres, there's no road race walks. So, you know, the opportunities are a little bit limited. Obviously, for the track and field athletes, the likes of Regan Corrin, you know, he'll have opportunities to compete indoors. And then I think it's just really for the longer distance runners, they'll have opportunities in road races to achieve standards. But yeah, the opportunities are quite limited now.
I suppose on the back of that, though, if there are those who maybe do miss out on the Commonwealth Games this time around with this different format that we're looking at, of course, less than 12 months after that, we've got the 2027 International Island Games in Faroe Islands. So if there are those with those ambitions of competing in an international event, there are maybe opportunities a little further down the line.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Island Games, I mean, I know we're only a few months after the last one, but it's such a crucial stepping stone, I think, for the Isle of Man athletes. I mean, I think for the more elite level athletes, if you want to term them that, it's maybe a stepping stone, whereas for others in the team it might be the limit of their ambitions. But you know, whether that ambition is to win a medal at the Island Games, or you know, maybe just to be competitive in a final or whatever, it's just such a crucial stepping stone. And although the games in the Faroes is going to be extremely expensive, I just think it's so crucial that, you know, we do send a strong team to that event.
Looking locally then, of course, plenty of events still taking place in and around as and when we're speaking, and then plenty coming forward as well. So in terms of locally as well, what have we got coming up in the next couple of weeks?
Well, this coming weekend, we've got quite a historic race coming up on Saturday, because it's the last ever Winter Hill League race organised by Manx Fell Runners. Now, this is a series that dates back to 1995. The format's been unchanged. It's been three It's been a three-race series every year for the last 31 seasons. We had one cancellation actually last year due to the storm damage. The last round was cancelled. It's the only cancellation actually in 31 years. So this will actually be the 92nd and final Winter Hill race, which takes place at Colden out at Ardwellan in Interbrack. Now, the good news is that although it's the end of the Winter Hill League, Manx Fell Runners are rearranging their race schedule for next year, and the series will happen again, but it'll be in the summer. I'm not exactly sure what the format's going to be, whether it's still going to be weekend or whether it's maybe going to be midweek in the evenings. We'll have to wait and see on that. But certainly the Winter Hill League has been a really popular event. And in some ways, it's quite sad that it'll be the last race on Saturday. So I hope we get a good turnout and we'll see the event off in style. And then on Sunday morning, we have the third round of the Manx Harriers Winter Walk League, which once again takes place at the NSC. The last round, which was only 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had the pleasure of the company of a fairly recent Olympic race walker, Tom Bosworth, who's now concentrating on coaching. And he brought quite a number of his mainly young group from the northwest of England over, and that sort of added real prestige to our event. Obviously, we won't have that this time, but we've got plenty of good race walkers of our own, of all ages, so it'll be good to see them out on Sunday. And then also on Sunday, we have Krista Kane is competing in the Valencia Marathon. I've kind of lost count of the number of marathons Krista's done this year, actually, but she's got her time down to 2 hours 35, which, of course, is an Ironman record. Whether she can improve on that again this time, who knows? I wouldn't put anything past Krista, to be honest, so it'll be interesting to see what she does in that.
Speaking of the Valencia one, I think, wasn't it in the last year or so when she last did the Valencia Marathon? That's when she broke Brenda Walker's long-standing women's marathon record before breaking her own record in London as well. Just looking ahead, actually, quite generally as well, like you've mentioned with the Winter Hill League, it's effectively having a bit of a rebrand almost after this final round. We've seen that with another event with the likes of what was the Fireman's Run series in Ramsey as well recently. Those sorts of things changed. But yeah, with roadrunning continuing to be so popular on the Isle of Man, do you think maybe more roadrunning series like those two as an example, we could see the format of them changing over time? Not going necessarily, but could we see more change in the coming years, do you think?
I think possibly, but one of the problems we've got is just that we've got a really congested fixture list anyway. So I think adding further events to that is not necessarily the way to go. I know in the past there has been a road running league on the Isle of Man. I know that I think the Isle of Man Veterans Club have their own league. There has been Isle of Man leagues in the past, and maybe that's something to consider in the future. You know, maybe having a league with, I don't know, maybe one half marathon, one 10K, one 5K and a 3K possibly, maybe a 5 miles or something like that. But that's not really for me to say, really. That's for Isle of Man Athletics really to look into. But yeah, I think that would be an exciting development, and maybe that's something that can happen over the next few years.
Lastly as well, looking into 2026, of course, entries have now opened for two big events on the Isle of Man Athletics calendar, the Easter Festival of Running and, of course, the 2026 Parish Walk as well. So still some time away, entries are open as well, but do you think some athletes might starting to be eyeing up preparations going into the new year for these two?
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I think if you're going to be doing the Parish Walk seriously, you know, training really needs to be starting now. You know, sort of 6 months, it sounds a long time, but you know, and certainly anybody competing at the front end of the field, you know, they really need to be preparing for that now, ideally. Yeah, so the entries for the Parish Walk and the Easter Festival opened on the 1st of December, and we've had nearly 100 entries for the Parish Walk already, and around about 50 for the Easter Festival, so that's a pretty good start.
That is local athletics correspondent Dave Griffiths speaking to me this week. That just about wraps it up on Friday Sport Preview this week. Many thanks for joining us, and many thanks to our guests this week, Tony Meppham, Rachel Andrew, Dave Christian and Dave Griffiths as well. And don't forget as well, if you want to catch up with anything you may have missed on Friday Sport Preview this evening, this whole programme will be available as a podcast very shortly later this evening. And just finally, just a reminder, if you are out and about this evening, please do just bear the weather in mind, that amber weather warning for coastal overtopping, which comes into force at 9:30 p.m. this evening and runs until 1:30 a.m. tomorrow morning on Saturday the 6th of December. So please do take care, particularly in those coastal areas among a number of the promenades and on the likes of Shore Road in Rushen, Castown, Laxey, Ramsey and Douglas. Thank you for joining us. Have a wonderful Friday and a wonderful weekend as well. Until next time, bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.